on. We're going to turn on power. That's right, because it's Cafe Anyway.
It's Mike's Daily Podcast.
Episode 3329. 303-29.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
3329. And Mike Matthews here at Cafe Anyway. Somewhere podcast, rather last place on earth. We're here broadcasting from Cafe Anyway. It's really awesome. And I'm singing to you a song that comes from my heart. And I've seen a long, long time where I've done a podcast and I'm not anywhere important where
Mike's Daily Podcast
in the world of important podcasters, no. That would not be me. But
Mike's
I bring you
Daily
a podcast daily.
Podcast.
Well, just about every day.
Yeah.
Almost. Pretty much. Although there's going to be an interesting podcast coming up. Not on Monday. We're taking the day off Monday because it is another amazing holiday on Monday. What? Yes. On June 29th, it is Hug Holiday. That's right. The Hug Holiday is on June 29th. It is inviting us to share warmth and affection with those around us. Start a free hug campaign. You've seen the videos, some random person standing along a crowded sidewalk with a free hugs sign. Passersby are initially skeptical, but eventually they cave. Everyone wants a free hug. You don't have to film your endeavor to collect all the free oxytocin. And that from nationaltoday.com. They also suggest hug a friend. For some of us, hugs are part of everyday life, but for others, they can be few and far between. If you've noticed that one of your friends could use a hug, they'd likely appreciate the offer. Consider asking first, though.
And here's today's podcast picture.
Everyone has different comfort zones. This is my little comfort zone. It's called Shin Pond. Shin Pond, which is over there in Niles, in the Fremont area. It's a little lake. It used to be a quarry lake. There's a couple quarry lakes. In fact, Quarry Lakes is right next to that. It's a park. I think it's a state park. East Bay Regional Park District Park. There where people can go. They used to be able to go in the water, but I don't think they can anymore because the algae and they're worried about. They worry about everything in the Bay Area. Everything. So just, you know, it's the CYA attitude of the Bay Area. The late great Basil the Boxer and I used to walk around. He actually went into Shin Pond once and swam a little bit on a hot day, I remember, years and years ago. I would say about 15 years ago. But see that picture at mikesdailypodcast.com of yours truly over there at Shin Pond, this picture taken recently over there in Niles. Sometimes life gets so busy that we forget about our basic needs. It might seem like overkill, but scheduling hugs with a person you love can be an effective way to make sure that you get your hugs in. I must tell you that my lovely lady friend gives the best hugs. She's been told by more than just me. But when I first met her over 8 years ago, and she hugged me, I thought she was just about to, what's the thing? Break my spine or something. Pop my head off.
The word of God.
She's a strong hugger. I guess the word today is hug. Well, the hug holiday, which is coming up on Monday. A study published by Psychological Science found that lots of hugging leads to less severe illness symptoms. In everyday terms, that means that folks with plenty of hugs in their lives get sick. They get less sick than people without hugs. Somehow that was the worst written sentence ever, but I think they got the point across. Hugs, not drugs. Hugging releases the oxytocin in our bodies, oxytocin, which helps to strengthen social bonds. It also brings that warm, fuzzy feeling that comes after a hug, and who doesn't want more of that? It's not often you find something that fends off illnesses and brings us closer to the people we love, but when it's free, even better.
Get inside the building here. Oh, wow. I've never actually been...
Oh, look who's here.
...inside of this building before. Get those wooden...
Yes.
...bar seats and the historic old booths in here. This is incredible. What a freaking treasure. Look at this dining room.
Welcome to Cafe Anyway.
Absolutely gorgeous. We used to build beautiful things in this country, that's for sure.
Look, that's right.
We've got an amazing gift shop in here. And then look at the view out of the back windows
is
here.
It?
I mean, that is sensational. Absolutely gorgeous in here. It has been very well preserved.
I'm glad you like it here at Cafe Anyway. That would be Justin Scard, and his channel's called Random Land, and it has a bunch of subscribers. And I think he just finished his tour of Route 66 on its 100th anniversary. Route 66 turns 100. Our country turns 250. It is quite a lot of interesting things. But you know what else? We're also... I'm hearing Rocky the cat meowing at Cafe Anyway. So yet more fascinating people stopping by. It's also National Bacon Burnt End Day. Yes, National Bacon Burnt End Day sizzles on the 29th of every year, honoring the delectable, crispy, and caramelized morsels of pork belly. Probably not the best for you, but there are some people that really get into that. And National Almond Butter Crunch Day. Oh, almond butter. I have not tried that. That sounds absolutely delicious. Butter crunch is a type of hard candy that has often had a standalone dessert, or it's been a garnish for other desserts. It uses a simple recipe that combines toffee, chocolate, and sugar to give a luxurious texture to your desserts. As we go outside a Cafe Anyway, where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth in the land of America.
Anyway.
During the 19th century, sugar was more easily available, so the approximate date of the origin of Butter Crunch can be placed to the early 19th century. Wow. And it's National Waffle Iron Day. Oh, on Monday. Because yours truly, whenever I get to a weekend or any day off that I take, I like to make waffles. There is nothing better to me. My dad would make waffles. My grandma made waffles. His mom. A good friend of mine that I grew up with, Derek, who I think now is taking GLP-1s, but whatever. His mom, Barbara, used to make these wonderful chocolate chip waffles. Yes, she'd get the waffle dough. Waffle dough. I went Australian all of a sudden. And he put chocolate chips right there in the dough. So... and I do that too. That's not so healthy, but then I throw in all this stuff like flax seed and hemp seed and chia seeds and oatmeal. It's amazing.
Mike's out of left field.
I know.
Recording.
Slightly out of left field, this podcast today.
Recording everything. Captures actions that will never again be repeated.
Waffles are believed to have originated in Belgium. And so it is likely that the waffle iron, or at least a primitive version of it, was also invented in Belgium. Just like Hercule Poirot. Rocky, for the love of all that's Cafe Anyway. We're outside a Cafe Anyway. He followed me outside. Somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopka. He's over here. Come over here. Sit on my lap. He's upset because once I started the podcast, he jumped off my lap. And I'm walking around and he doesn't like that. When Dutch and other Europeans began immigrating to America, those darn foreigners, they brought waffles. Come here. Come here. Jump on my lap. Let's go. There we go. They brought waffles to the New World. And that's where they came from. The Dutch... Also, cookies, too, I think, came from the Dutch. It became a common breakfast. They say cookie. It became a common breakfast meal. In fact, Thomas Jefferson is known to have been quite fond of waffles, and he kept a collection of waffle recipes, even had his own iron waffle maker. He was quite a foodie. He had
a fine article.
And I think I found this in
silly, great fat article.
I don't know if I found this from an article or from Lucy Worsley or some documentary I was watching. But as you know, Thomas Jefferson had slaves. His chief cook was African American, and basically he had the chef learn some amazing recipes, and a lot of stuff that we picked up here in America came to America through this chef that Thomas Jefferson had. The first ever American patent for the waffle iron happened in 1869 and was given to Cornelius Swarthout, whereas the first electric waffle was invented by Thomas Stackbeck in 1911. The traditional form of waffles consisting of an egg batter, I don't use egg, cooked in a waffle iron and topped with cream and berries did not become popular until 1964. I was born a few years later when it was sold at the World's Fair in New York. So another reason why we are taking the day off on Monday. But the most important reason why we are taking Monday off is because of National Diesel Billy Day. What? The influence of musician Bill Kirkin. Every June 29th, dive into the unique Americana sound. Woo! We had some of that recently.
Mike's Matthewsment Park.
At my Matthewsment Park.
The front panel will close automatically.
Wonderful.
Please remain seated at all times.
Had fun at the Matthewsment Park with Monty Byron. I would call him an Americana artist, and he also performed rock artist because he performed with his band Billy Satellite, which is kind of a rock band in the early 80s, and then with Eddie Money later on, and Big House, and his Buddha's Beef Band, and all these other cool bands he was with. The Zen Rock Road Band. I forgot the name. Sorry, Monty. But it was Bill Kirkin created this unique Americana sound. He pioneered, and you celebrate the spirit of truck driving songs on Monday with National Diesel Billy Day. Bill Kirkin was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut, back in 1948. Grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. During his high school days, he learned how to play the trombone. Then he met folk singer David Sigelin and delved into the local folk scene. As he learned the banjo and guitar, his musical interests began to diversify beyond folk music. When he enrolled at the University of Michigan,
the Fascinating Material.
This is fascinating.
FM Project.
He founded a psycho folk rock band that later transitioned into a country band. And it formed the basis for his future band. Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen was a country rock band that was formed in 1967 by Bill Kirkin. And then in 69, the band moved to California, where they were deemed musical outlaws. Their music was described as a collection of rock and roll, hardcore country, boogie, rockabilly, produced in a high-octane mix, but they broke up in 76. Then they formed a swing orchestra called Moonlighters. And in 86, Bill Kirkin moved to D.C. and formed the band Too Much Fun. He is credited with being one of the founders and forerunners of the Americana movement. And the term Diesel Billy, which refers to a tradition of truck driving songs that are from another era where gears still jammed and no little black boxes told tales on the driver. He apparently, according to nationaltoday.com, remains professionally active today.
Good.
It
stage fright?
I do sometimes.
Well, I tell you a secret. If you ever find yourself on the air and you feel a little nervous, just imagine that you're speaking to one specific person. See?
That's right.
Which, in fact, is probably the case here.
The Zen Road Pilots. Sorry about that, Monty. Zen Road Pilots, of course, with the Buckaroos, too. I hear he's been doing some stuff with the Buckaroos. He was also with a band called New Frontier. And apparently today, I'm sorry, on Monday, it's going to be it'll be not national, but just local to where I am in the Bay Area. San Francisco's birthday is apparently attributed to June 29th. And we're outside of Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopka. Speaking of Diesel Billy and all that, look who's here. Hi, Mark. It's Benita the Rodeo Queen. How y'all doing? I brought my horse, Billy.
It's a disgruntled field player, tell you what.
What?
I think that's crazy, that kind of music, that hillbilly music with the rockabilly, and you throw a little hillbilly and music and Diesel. And fumes, and everybody's just running around making all kinds of sounds and singing. It's crazy. And I want to join a band called the Zen Road Pilots, tell you what.
What?
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Fun bands. All fun bands. Very good. You know, and then I get on the radio and introduce the bands, and people ask me questions because I'm a disc jockey.
I just don't know how you do it.
Just talk into the mic, and your voice goes out through the wires, and once a week, whether you need it or not, somebody comes in here and gives you a check for $38.
You are so kind. I love getting $38. Better than $350. So the World Cup is apparently going to... The global wagers on the World Cup could top $50 billion. That's up from more than $35 billion. So it went from $35 billion up to $50 billion. $35 billion back 2022, so 4 years later, it's up to $50 billion. About 65% of the U.S. population now has legal access to sports betting. And not only that, but all this predictive market stuff, the, what are they called? I can never remember the names of the two big ones. That at some point are going to be sued out of existence, let's be honest. Because there's all this insider trading. People saying, you know, like there's a people. What's the possibility of the population of whatever increasing, and someone has insider knowledge, and they bet a bunch of money on it, and then they win. And this is going to be more and more. I think there's going to be at some point they're gonna have to lawyer up.
We love you, Mike.
Thank you. That's just my observation because I think gambling's awful. I'm in no way persuaded that gambling's...
But, Mark, you win money.
Well, you also lose money. And my dad knew that and lost a lot of money. And my mom had a boss that basically went completely bankrupt because he just gambled everything away in Vegas. And that was back in the 80s before all this online stuff going on where people are wagering, online wagering with all this stuff. So, doggy... acupuncture. By the way, I had to go to the vet today, not because I'm a dog and I needed acupuncture, but Rocky the cat, who was just here meowing and giving me a piece of his mind, he needed to go in. There's something up with his lip I talked about in a recent podcast, and the vet took a look at. Anyway, Cafe Anyway, while we're waiting in the waiting room, the weirdest thing happened. So it's not a very big place, this whole operation. It's got even a smaller waiting room. And we're waiting in there.
Ginormous.
Yeah, it's not ginormous. The opposite. Small-normous. And, Rocky's still yelling away in the background. So, there was a lady that comes in with her cat and her sweet young daughter. And they sit down and they're talking. We kind of exchange a little bit of sweet small talk back and forth. And then, you know, talking about, oh, your cat's sweet. Your cat's sweet and all this stuff. Look at those eyes on the cat. Suddenly, this lady comes bursting into the room. One of the lab techs or something. And she goes, what's going on with your cat? She says to the people that just walked in, What's going on with your cat? Your cat has swollen anal glands? And all I know is the lady that she was yelling at, the lady with the cat, was getting upset at the lady for yelling about the cat's problem, and back and forth they went. Woo! Oh, it was crazy. It escalated quickly. Suddenly, some other people came into the room that basically escorted us out into a small, one of the small rooms where they have the patient, the cat, in our case, Rocky the cat, and they took, he wants his own podcast. He's meowing away in the background. And anyway, everything turned out fine. The lady calmed down. She demanded to talk to someone else, the customer here at the, who had a cat. What, Rocky? That sounded similar to that. And everything calmed down. Okay. But wow. I wasn't expecting that, because this place is really subdued. The people are really chill. It's very chillax in there. And to have this escalate so quickly, all I can tell you is this lab tech, or whatever you call him, the
woo!
Veterinarian nurse, or whatever, who, I don't know why she came in. It wasn't one of the vets. It was one of the other folks, like an assistant who was acting all strange and very too much coffee, maybe. But an estimated 5,000 of the 127,000 U.S. veterinarians are certified to perform acupuncture, and they will charge up to $500 for house calls. Around 80% work with small animals. 20% will work with horses. And a very small percentage will work with farm animals, as well as exotic animals and zoo animals. Acupuncture. Rocky, is that what you need? He's on my lap now. He's calming down.
Kombucha!
Did you want some kombucha, Rocky? No, he has to stay on a very limited diet. That's what's affecting his lip. He's got an allergic reaction to some kind of food we're giving him. So his diet is being pulled back. He's having to take steroids. So hopefully that will help with everything. Coming for Keurig land, the plastic pods. Italian coffee maker Lavazza launched Tabli, a brewing system that uses tablets made from 100% compressed coffee grounds, which can only be made using a Lavazza machine. The tablets, which have no coating, binder, or gelatin, are a more sustainable single-serve option than plastic cups. The problem I find with people...
All right, now, Tay-Tay, my favorite.
The problem I find is people that say, instead of Taylor Swift, they say Tay-Tay. And, you know, okay, that's all right if you're 5 years old. But if you're pushing 55 or older, no. You don't call her Tay-Tay. That just looks ridiculous. But when they use one of these cups, these plastic cups, these Keurig cups, they just throw it away in the regular trash. What you need to do is remove the grounds, put them on your plants because they like the grounds. This is what I was told. And then you take the plastic cup and throw that in the recycler, the recycle bin. If you're in California, that would be the blue one most of the time. And I guess the grounds can go into the green one, the organic one. So I have been told. But just throwing them away into the landfill, you may want to consult Keurig themselves. Go to their website to find out for sure, or the other makers. It's not just Keurig. There's all kinds of people making these pods, as they call us. I am doing a pod right now. Mike's Daily Podcast. Quick thing, though, about pets. Pet ownership is on the decline, sadly. The price of pet parenting is no longer a walk in the park. The rising costs are prompting households to temper spending on their furry friends. The average pet owner now spends almost $4,500 annually on routine expenses. for just one cat or one dog. This is leading to slowing adoption rates and fewer vet visits. The share of households with a pet has declined in the past 2 years. Dog ownership in the U.S. has dropped to 38%. Recently, households.
And now we return you to our regularly scheduled program with Mike Matthews.
Hi, that's me. I guess dog ownership used to be 42% about 8 years ago, and now it's down to 38%. It's decreased by a little, but still 38% of us have dogs. Younger pet owners, especially from lower income households, are paring back on non-essentials such as toys and accessories. Oh, Rocky, but you love your toys. The cost of veterinary services rose about 6% this year, and pet food and treats have increased about 1% from last year, so not too bad. But if you want a simple nail trim, if you want the vet to trim your pup's nails,
hey kids,
or
it's me,
the veterinarian,
Do-Re-Me the Clown,
known as Do-Re-Me the Clown, maybe don't go to him, but a simple nail trim for a pup now costs about $25 to get that nail trim. Wow. I don't know. You know what? I never had Basil the Boxer's nails trimmed, and we heard him earlier. I would just take him on these walks, and walking on the concrete would trim down his nails. So but Rocky the cat, though, cats have a different type of their claws can be trimmed with these claw clippers. And your vet will teach you how to do it if you ask them nicely, or their nurse, as long as they're not the really intense kind like the one I saw today. Finally, perhaps a chicken dinner. In the 2000s,
you will travel into the incredible
travel into the incredible universe of the early O's, customers complained about expensive burgers. Then 10 years after that, they were complaining about avocado toast. About $10 avocado toast and kale salad. What the heck? What's a kale salad? The median cost of a chicken entree now is $28. And that is more than fish and shellfish entrees. Chicken is a lower cost ingredient, but inflation has increased the price. And now with our protein obsession going on, because people are taking the GLP-1s, like maybe possibly the friend of mine that whose mom made the waffles growing up.
Magnification.
Also, people, if you're watching the video, which you can do at mikesdailypodcast.com, I've got Rocky's butt in the camera, sort of, well, his tail anyway. He is squirming away. All right, bye, Rocky. Oof, ow. He just jumped off. He just did a parkour off my chest and ran away and scratched me a little bit. Regardless, cats are wonderful. Just got to be careful. They got them sharp. So maybe clip the claws and then you won't have that happen to you as it just happened to me. Look who else is here outside a cafe anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica.
Hello, Mike. I make delicious root beer. I made some for you right now. I have some right now.
Thank you. Mmm. Oh, that's so good. How are things in the basement?
Yeah, I'm the brewmaster, and I make the root beer in the basement. I make the root beer.
Uh-huh, and how are things going down there?
It's fine. Sometimes I get scratched by a cat with long claws. That means I just need to clip the claws because I'm the brewmaster and I could do that now and charge people $25. Trigger right now, I'll cut you.
Just don't clip my claws. That's all I'm at. Really good. He makes the root beer in the basement. All right. Thank you for listening. If you would like to chime in about anything we covered today, here is the number to call.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway Hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
Thank you, Rocky. And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you for listening to Mike's Daily Podcast.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.